Now that we're in the fourth week of Lent, we begin to look at that third aspect of what the Church uses the Scriptures for, to teach us during Lent. And this one, you see, is the eternal equality of Father and Son, the mystery of the love between them. And as he says, look, I don't move a muscle unless I see the Father doing it. Now, he's beginning now to open up for us the mystery of the plan of salvation as it's hidden in the heart of the Trinity and now becomes manifest. All of this he did by going to a healing place, this pool of Siloam, of Bethsaida, and Bethesda. And there, healing a man who had been sick for 38 years. And it was on the Shabbat on purpose. The time has come for him to start revealing himself. Bear in mind what this Shabbat means. And it's an ordinance of God. I've told you before how we're so used to this. You see, it takes an outsider to show us the meaning of what we so glibly speak about. I told you about how David Flusser, in his book, A Rabbi Speaks with Jesus, which is a very beautiful book. And he says, you know, Jesus, I really love you. But when you call yourself Lord of the Sabbath, you know, I can't follow you. That means you're God. It's exactly what it means. Now, we hear it every day. He knows what it means. He can't accept it. We should pray for him. Can you imagine what a joy it would be for him and for Jesus? It would be just great. So the Lord did this on purpose on Shabbat, because it's time for him to start announcing himself. Now, you know, the Jewish thinkers, they're written up in what's called the Mishnah, which is just the word for teaching. Shana means, shen is a word for tooth. And shana means to sharpen. So teaching is sharpening. See, that's their idea. So Mishnah. So if God rested on the Shabbat, what happened to the world? He has to keep it going. And so they begin to think of those things that God does on Shabbat. He raises the dead. He heals. He keeps the world in existence, you see. Now, Jesus says, I do all that. So this is a turning point, as the way John has written his gospel. But my friends, we could walk out of here no more amazed than when we walked in, if we don't take this word and ponder it. You see? So the Jews are mad now. And they found out he broke the Shabbat. Well, you see, you know, when you see very strict or even fanatical Muslims, they kill people for stuff like this. Over here, we're so fat and happy. But over there, they're very... Okay. So my Father is at work until now, so I am at work. You are a human being. You're standing there right in front of us. And now you're talking about Adonai as being your Father, and whatever he does, you do. You see? So for this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Now, what is this text opening up for us? The relation between Father and Son in the Trinity. Breathtaking love between them. Breathtaking. The source of our salvation is in the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it's made known to us, you see, by the presence of the Son, made human speaking to us and showing us, you know, that the source of our salvation is the Trinitarian life. It's hidden in the infinite depths of God. Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will do also. You see, he's trying to explain to us this mystery of love. And so, because I'm equal to the Father, for the Father loves the Son. He's talking about himself, you see, and shows him everything that he himself does. He's using baby talk to try to get us, draw us in, you see, to the mystery. And the church uses this now as we're halfway through this fourth week of Lent to start looking at what is the source of our salvation. It's the ineffable breath of love between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's where the origin is. You see? And he will show him greater works than these so that you may be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead. Now that's one of the things the Father does on Shabbat, remember. See, the kindness of the infinite Son of God to take the Jewish elaboration of the scriptures and say, look, that's just what I'm doing. You see? So also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone. He has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. That's making yourself God. Yes. Yes. So when we look at the cross, you see, that's God. Okay, we can't go, it's a long text, but whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. The one, the shaliach, the one sent by the sender, represents the sender. So if you insult the one sent, you insult the sender. That's where we get the word apostle from, by the way, in Greek. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now think about that. If we let the Holy Spirit move us, you see, we will run to honor the Son and to make up for the enmity, the triumph of Satan in the last 400 years in European culture. You see, we have to make it up. Honor the Son so that we can honor the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me. It's nice to take my word, but do you know who I really am? Do you know that I'm sent by the Father? You see, that one has eternal life. If you accept me, you pass from death to life. You see? Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. What dead? The dead in the ground, the dead in their spirit, the dead. Those who have no life. You see? And those who hear. It would have been better maybe to translate that with those who listen. It's the same word that happens in both Greek and Hebrew. The phrase is, depending on, it's not a lesson in language this morning, but we'll do here, Shema Bo and Shema Le, to listen to and to hear. There's a difference, right? You can hear somebody but not really listen to them. And that's expressed grammatically. And we have different words. That's expressed grammatically, you see. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, this is the Trinity now. So also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. Well, now, if he has a total autonomous life in himself, he's divine. But he got it from the Father. Now do you see the mystery of the Trinity opening up? The Father gives everything to the Son. So now the Son has everything in himself, but as a gift from the Father, from all eternity. And as they return to each other, you see, that gives birth to the Spirit from all eternity. So now we're starting to be invited in to the depth of the plan of God. It's a plan of the Trinity. For just as the Father has life in himself, he gave to the Son to have life in himself. But how can you give to somebody to have life in themselves? If I give you $10, you have it from me. You don't have it from yourself. How can he give to the Son to never, what can I say? You get what I'm trying to say, though? I mean, like, how can I, if I give you $10, you've got your $10. But you don't have it from yourself, you have it from me. Now Jesus is saying, I received it all from the Father, but I have it in myself. That's the Trinity. Okay, we got to go on. This is the speech, you see, that clearly merits death or adoration. And so now we're moving so that by the kindness of the Lord, he can draw us into the heart of the Trinity. And from there, we understand the act of love in which Jesus died.